Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, if you find yourself fidgety and unable to relax when you're away from work, as I am in my chair, did you hear a squeak then? Well, you're not alone. A new study shows that 33% of us continue to work even while we're on vacation. And my first guest has some solutions to help you enjoy your downtime. And I'll introduce Dr. Beauvoir in just one moment. Joining us around 12:20, the CEO of Evolved Employer and publisher of The Glass Hammer. She joins us to talk today about three key takeaways from their latest research on women in tech. And that's Nikki Gilmore. And I have to tell you, I was surprised by some of the answers they found when they interviewed women in tech and how they felt their careers were progressing and how they wanted them to progress. And we'll end today's show with a little more research from recognized thought leader and visiting Stanford scholar, Dr. Tracy Weiland-Dorgenti. She's written extensively on careers and workplace issues, especially around women. Her latest book, Women Lead, provides career perspectives from workplace leaders. And today we'll examine how mobility is taking a swipe at jobs. And we raise the question, is your job or could your job be in danger of being taken over by robots? Again, I was surprised by some of those findings. Most importantly, we'll share how you can stay relevant. And that's the key thing, to stay relevant in today's workforce. Well, first of all, I want to introduce Dr. Cassandra Beauvoir. She is a multi-talented woman. She's worked as an intuitive, psychotherapist, teacher, author, speaker, pianist, and composer. She's had a private practice for over 25 years where she's improved the lives of thousands of individuals and families and couples. She's developed unique strategies to transform relationships, work, survival dynamics, and any key area in life where we become stuck. She's has a BA in Music and Business Administration and an MA in Education in Counseling Psychology. And she's also the author of Certainty, Make Your Dreams Come True. Dr. Cassandra Beauvoir, welcome.
Thank you, Vicki. It's good to be here.
So tell us a little bit about you and why you got into psychotherapy and why it's important to you to help people who feel stuck in their patterns.
Well, the short version of that story is I was really very curious about dynamics and what made people do certain things, what made people go in certain directions. And I also had a very deep need to understand the universe and to help people. So that's what spurred me forward in my graduate studies and wanted to look further and found myself looking into systems work, family systems, and noticed that there was a change in one person, there'd be a change in another person. So then the energy dynamics became of great interest to me.
And so you have taken this formal education, if you will, and then you also apply that intuitively, I understand. Is that correct?
Yes, that's absolutely true.
So
there's always an energy between people that is creating part of the relationship, and then you have to look at how you take that energy out if you don't want it there, or if you want to use that energy to as part of your repertoire in a relationship, you can keep that and learn from it.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things, well, the primary thing I want to talk about today, of course, is, you know, people just can't seem to relax today.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent vacation with people and visited, home, which should be relaxing, and find sometimes it's quite stressful because people are so plugged in. And there's a new Harris poll out, I understand, which states that nearly a third of Americans still work while away from their smartphones, while they're away from work. So that's quite a staggering number, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So one of the things I was talking about or in that bio that you were reading is survival dynamics. Work is part of the way we reconcile our survival dynamics, and people get paid for what they do, and they are expected to be competent, and so we're on. So then we take that, and then we go on vacation and put ourselves in this total mode where there's an expectation to just relax and be away from all of that, and it's not always as easy as it seems, even if we're looking forward to it, because there's still part of our energy that's tied up in work, which is good. We want to keep it connected and not completely unplug from our work, or we would separate and move in another direction, but be able to tone that down and focus our energy in another direction, which is vacation and relaxation and working. And that can be done by learning some very simple techniques to deal with your energy.
Okay.
Energy is really different than emotion, although energy goes into your emotions and expresses through your emotions.
Right. Now, some people are more tightly wound than others. And if you are, spending a day that's supposed to be, like, for example, this weekend, I was actually meditating on a rock at the beach this weekend. And it was really peaceful because it was early in the morning. Nobody else was around but my dog splashing around in the water. And then a family came down to the beach. And what I found annoying was not the kids running around and throwing rocks, or the mum and the daughter who came right next to me on an empty beach to talk. What I found annoying was the dad who was on the cell phone, obviously with a work situation.
Uh-huh.
So it can be very stressful for the people around you if you can't unplug. So let's take a look at some of those ways that we can unplug effectively, because I believe, you know, I work with many different groups and organizations, and I believe, you know, if we're on top of our job, we can take time away. There are certain jobs where you do need to stay plugged in, but it's okay for us to take a week away or even 2 weeks away. Mm-hmm. So let's look at some of the ways that you work with people to help them unplug.
Okay. Well, what's interesting about the example that you just gave is that that family dynamic, interestingly enough, they're used to most likely having him plugged into work and not really relating. So his energy is just so tied up in that, and you can feel the energy off of that as you were sitting on your rock meditating and sensing all of that buzzy kind of interaction that he was having. And being able to set the phone down and be near it but not connected into it, which then connects you back to that survival dynamic at work. So one of the things that is just a simple thing that anyone can do is just to get rid of some of the anxiety is put your feet flat, focus your eyes straight forward. You don't necessarily have to close your eyes, and just start to breathe and let all of that energy go out and down into the ground. And as you're breathing, you'll start to notice that you start to sense internally more of yourself and what your true thoughts and feelings and desires are about. So that's just one simple exercise that I would go to more in depth in my Stress Busters class that's on my website for those that are interested. And it's just a very basic kind of thing. So people are always trying to control their energy or their emotions. And what I'm recommending is that you release them and let them go, because it's the way we carry each other. Just like if you're plugged into work, you can feel what's going on at work.
Mm-hmm.
On your vacation, you don't want to feel what's going on at work.
Right. If somebody refuses, you know, they say, no, I have to leave my cell phone on. I have to check my email every day. I mean, and they really don't, because there are cases where you really don't. It's something we're kind of addicted to. I mean, what's really going on inside of them?
Well, that's really interesting that you use the word addiction, because that's exactly what it is. Then if they're addicted to that energy rush that they're getting from that comes through that cell phone that connects them to something outside of themselves. And we are all addictive when we can't pull ourselves in and align ourselves with just like decompressing from all of that energy and have our own thoughts, our own feelings, experience our own desires and what we want to do in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's any of those kind of connections. It can be a relationship. It can be work. It can be anything.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't have to be work related. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I was going to say, what if we are with somebody who just, you know, is not going to take our plea. They're not going to listen to us. They just insist, absolutely insist.
Well, it's kind of funny. I was just talking about this week with, I said I received a call from a couple who were on vacation, who weren't on vacation. They were trying to get on vacation with each other. And, you know, the conflict started because as they transport all that energy from their careers into their relationship and then they want to have a good time, they have to remove all of that energy that comes between them. They're not having their own conversation. So we worked on it a little bit, and because they've used some of the strategies that I teach, they were able to be let it go and get on vacation once they could see what it was.
Yeah, because I think it can often be a barrier to good relationships. And people sometimes use it as a barrier to protect themselves from recognizing they have a bad relationship.
Well, that's absolutely true. However, if you're together and you're really committed to the relationship, there are many strategies to developing a better relationship, and if it's for couples, a more intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as being the most challenging thing for people to overcome? I know you work with many, many people on this topic and being stuck, because they are stuck in a way. It's a stuck behavior, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you see as being the most challenging thing?
Well, one of the most challenging is to see the person as they are in the moment. There's a lot of projection that comes from other places. The feeling is real. The feeling is true. But who the person is projecting it onto may have nothing to do with that feeling. So I think some of the most challenging encounters are about relationships, and when someone like a child owns a projection of negative energy and becomes that projection, those are challenging situations. And that can be in a work situation too. It can also, you know, be on a vacation.
Right. And studies do show that if we take true recreation, we recreate. So I think it's
really
important.
Yes, and recreating ourselves is the key to ending all of that negativity, because as you're creating, you have to let go. You have
right.
to let go of the negativity. You have to let go of your projection, and you have to start to look at that in a more positive way, or you have to own you're creating something negative.
Mm-hmm. I used to sail with a group several years ago, and we were up here in the Northwest, and the rule was no cell phones. Or, you know, people had their cell phones, but they had to turn them off. And it was the same group that went regularly. And one day we had this one guy visit, and he did not get off his cell phone, and somebody actually took it off him and threw it in the Sound. I was so upset with him after like 2 hours of sailing, listening to him talk about work. So so we need to be considerate of the people we're traveling with, too.
An intervention can be strong many times.
Well, a final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today about unplugging and taking a good rest and a good vacation. They deserve it.
Yes, absolutely. And if you're not in tune with yourself, find some ways to get in tune. There are many strategies, and I have some that I offer on my website, www.cassandrabavois.com. And there are strategies in my book, Certainty, that you can use to inspire yourself to really live the life that you want to live. If you're out of sync with something, you know, encourage yourself to do something about it.
Excellent. And give us that website one more time.
www.cassandrabeauvoir.com.
Excellent. Dr. Beauvoir, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Vicki.
And please do stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be joined by the CEO of Evolved Employer and publisher of The Glass Hammer, Nikki Gilmore. And we'll be talking about women in tech, some really interesting findings that they just found in a new study. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Please do stay with us.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Did you know that capsizing boats and people falling overboard account for over 70% of boating fatalities? 80% of those fatalities occur on boats under 26 feet and on boats with operators who've had no formal boating instruction. 50% of all boating accidents involve alcohol. Be smart this summer. Know who you're boating with. Wear a Coast Guard approved life jacket and don't drink and boat. This message is brought to you by supporters of Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair and the JMB Group, who wish you safe boating fun.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Melanie Brocklehurst takes us from shark diving in Hawaii to Fright Night in Philly as she shares her hilarious ups and downs of internet dating in 50 dates in 50 states. And if the thought of spending summer vacation with the in-laws sends you running for the hills, don't miss Vicki's chat with in-law relationship expert Dr. Deanna Brand. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Guest details at conversationslive.net.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you heal and stay healthy.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, we are talking a lot about technology today, but we're talking about how it affects us at work. We just talked about how it affects us at play. And then my next two guests, we're going to be talking about how it affects us at work and what we need to know to stay ahead of the game. And I'm very pleased to have with me Nikki Gilmore. She's the CEO of Evolved Employer and publisher of The Glass Hammer. It's a leading career advice website and networking community for professional women in financial and professional services. She has a master's degree in change leadership and organizational psychology from Teachers College, Columbia University in New York. And welcome to the show, Nikki Gilmore.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to just share a little bit about your background with our listeners because you have an interesting background. You began your career in sales with Angus MacDonald, the Financial News in London, relocated to the U.S. in 2004 to run the financial news group's online career site, so you've had plenty of experience in what you talk about here. What brought you over to the U.S.? Was it for that job?
Actually, I sort of lived a lot of the experiences that we now actually write about on the Glass Hammer. So I was a young woman. I was kind of thrown into an international stretch assignment to run the U.S. business, having had no real managerial experience in London. Before I knew it, I found myself on the board of the company also. And so as a young woman from Northern Ireland, I really saw some of the challenges of otherhood and what it meant to be different from perhaps some of the other people in the room that didn't look like me or speak like me specifically. And so it was really then that I got the idea that, hang on a minute, I must not be alone in this. If we were able to sort of give women a bit of a place to come online and a bit of a resource, if you will, to inform them about their career and inspire them by profiling other women who have broken the glass ceiling, maybe we would be on to something.
Yeah. And is that how you created the website, theglasshammer.com, in 2007? Is that how you got the title, The Glass Hammer, Smashing the Glass Ceiling?
That's right. I mean, if you've ever tried to reserve a domain name, you'll find that there's not many left.
Right.
So we were actually sitting in a pub in London. I'm sure you'll appreciate this, as a Brit who once was, right?
Still is.
We had about five beers when we came up with that name, but we did think it was very fitting to break the glass ceiling.
Well, I have to tell you, I connected with the Glass Hammer several years ago, and I interviewed somebody who was affiliated with you at some point. She'd written a book. And I've been, or maybe she recommended your site to me, but I've been subscribing for a number of years now. And there's great advice on there, I have to say. And recently you did a study where you partnered with Accenture to look at women in technology. So tell us why you wanted to do this survey and what the purpose of this survey was.
Well, Evolved Employer, I should start by saying, is our workplace consultancy arm, and we do various research projects through that because we want to look at what are the organizational and systemic barriers and biases that are preventing women from progressing. We truly think that women in tech are an underrepresented bunch, and we really wanted to ask the audience, if you will, around what their ambition levels are. You know, people like Sheryl Sandberg say people aren't leaning in. We just wanted to see where the rubber met the road. We decided to go out and survey, the constituents who read The Glass Hammer, who also happens to be women in tech, and just find out how they were feeling about work.
Right. And you were a women in tech career, and you actually put events on yourself, I know, through your company. But you said there were a lot of unanswered questions in the Q&A section. People still had questions that hadn't been answered, or questions that... You know, sometimes we have to know the question before we can ask another question.
Yeah.
Get the right question going.
Yeah, you know, that's absolutely right. We've had 4 years of Women in Tech events annually, and we found that women were asking the same questions. And it really sort of boiled down to Nikki, I get the concept of wanting to be ambitious and get into the corner office, but, you know, in reality, how do I do that? And so... we felt that there were still some answers to be given around how to find your sponsor, how to navigate your path, and really how to work for a good company who's going to create the social architecture to let you be your best self every day at work.
Okay, very good. And I should let listeners know we're on a cell phone. The sound's a little in and out here, but I can hear you, so we should be okay on that, but just in case. So I want to talk about... and I know on theglasshammer.com you're going to be going into this in more detail over the next few weeks, but I want to talk right now about the three big takeaways that you found in your report. And the first one, maybe not so surprising, but it is good to hear, is that women in tech are ambitious. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Yes, we found out that women are actually ambitious and they absolutely want to do well in their career. Now, listen, this may be a function of our readership because, of course, you can imagine women who come to the Glass Hammer come for career advice, so they tend to be an ambitious bunch in the first place.
Right.
But the ones that answered our survey were definitely all in. They really wanted to get a promotion in the next 3 years. and they absolutely wanted to make it to the C-suite or senior management someday. And that's much higher than other studies have reported. You know, McKinsey did something in 2012 and identified only 41% of successful women executives said they wanted a C-suite job, whereas ours were, you know, it was much closer to 65%, in fact.
Right. And so, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, that's the first thing. Like, that's kind of big. We have to acknowledge that women actually are ambitious and want those jobs.
Right.
It's too easy to believe the hype that all women want to stay home or not take that promotion. So I think it's really interesting to just sort of sit with that nuance and understand that there's a chunk of people out there who just want to be the CEO.
Right. So if we've got male leaders out there, listen to this, because there are women out there who want to be taken seriously.
Absolutely.
And
I was going to say, that's right. You know, I think that we have to make sure that we don't fall into stereotyping all women everywhere or all men everywhere.
Absolutely.
Because not every guy wants to lead, but yet there's a sort of societal expectation that that's what men do. So there is definitely some reprogramming of the chip in all of our brains to understand that, you know, female leaders are on the rise, and we should accommodate different styles of leadership so that, you know, we have more than one idea of what a leader looks like, whether it's a technologist or a general CEO.
Right. Well, I know when my next guest comes on, some of her research, a quick fact of her research was that 2 out of 3 women are breadwinners or co-breadwinners in their family. 2 out of 3. So this next question in this takeaway in your research really surprised me. Did it? No, it didn't really. I think the number of it surprised me. But less than a quarter of the women you talked with said that their company walks the talk. So we have companies out there who are definitely talking the talk, but 75%, if you will, if we turn that number around, 75%, more than 75% said their company does not walk the talk when it comes to women's advancement. So talk to us a little about that, if you would.
Yeah, that's right. And this is really an important point, because we've all seen our CEOs and our leaders stand on the stage, stand on the box, tell us that they love diversity endlessly, you know, but what they don't realize, sorry if I sound cynical, diversity is a bit like world peace, you know, you couldn't get a bigger topic to put your arms around.
Absolutely.
So, the thing is, these leaders don't sometimes realize that when they step off the stage, high five the men on the way to the water cooler, and then hire 3 men as their direct report, they're really giving off a different signal, and their audio and their visuals are not matching. And women in the trenches, all people in the trenches, see this. It's a, you know, they take it in, they observe it. And so it becomes a real problem when this happens, as women become cynical and don't believe that there's actually a path to the top. They think it's the same old status quo. And the research does show, as I say, an overwhelming majority, 3/4, believe that it's just all talk.
Right. And what are some of the things that women would be looking for, do you think, to turn those numbers around? I know you deal with many women in the business place. You talk with many companies. So what kind of differences would women like to see in that respect?
Well, you know, I can't speak for all women everywhere. And I think we should always be careful to understand that needs and values very much differ person to person. It doesn't matter about gender and ethnicity and things like that. Tell you the truth. But I do think what can happen is companies can ensure that their leader sets the tone, and then their middle management ensures that it happens consistently, whatever the policy is created by the HR department, in that order. Because too often this diversity stuff is left to the diversity officer, the HR team, which, you know, it's a cultural issue.
Mm-hmm.
So one department with their compliance policies, even if they're the most amazing HR policies in the world, won't be able to fix this on their own.
Yeah.
So it really is understanding that we're all a part of the organizational culture, and that means how does stuff get done around here? So, you know, if you're, as I say, saying you love diversity but sort of not really living those values and doing the same old, people are going to notice, and no matter what statement you make or which HR policy you have.
Right. Right. I've definitely seen large groups where diversity is a buzzword and it's, quote, very visible. but they don't really deliver on it. You know, it's a token thing, and and people see through that.
Tokenism is just awful. And, you know, the way I frame it is, let's stop talking about diversity as if it's Noah's Ark. Yep. We have to stop saying, we've got two of those. Six,
I totally agree.
You know, lots of people are still in that mindset. Because really what diversity is looking at the power and authority dynamics of who's authorized to do what in the company. Who do we turn to? You know, to be the technologist, who do we turn to be the leader? And some of those are very sort of deeply built-in implicit assumptions that we all carry around and societally programmed from day one with our assumptions about who's a better leader. And experiments have shown this to be the case. So really, diversity is really an organizational development issue where you have to go up and above to understand the full system and make sure every person in the system understands their role to play.
Right. Let's talk about the big takeaway number three that you took from this survey, and that is that women believe they have different core traits than today's leaders. And the number one trait women chose when describing themselves and technology leaders was collaborative. But when they looked at the other top traits for leaders versus the top traits, how they describe themselves, they were like night and day.
I know. It was quite startling, this piece of data, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, just getting people to describe their own, their selves, and then turning around and saying, well, this is what my leader looks like, and seeing such different striking pictures, it makes me think, wow, are these women going to assimilate then to what they feel is leadership behaviors, or are they going to do it their way? And that, I think, was the most interesting piece in the whole survey.
Right. And some of the others, like for example, a lot of people put number two as number two was honest. That's how I describe myself. But when I describe my leader, honest was way down at the last but one.
I know. Yeah, that's not so great for the leaders, is it?
No.
Basically means that your people don't trust you. They don't think that you have integrity and credibility. Oh dear. So that was actually amazing, and I'm glad that we included that trait, because clearly if you don't trust your leaders, you're probably not going to stay in your company for very long.
I wonder if leaders would describe those traits themselves the same way.
Oh, we'll have to do that experiment another time.
You will. let us know how that goes. So what was it that surprised you the most about this study?
You know, there were some very good surprises, like the fact that women, even though they said they didn't have sponsors, when we asked them a question around, do you have someone who advocates for you, they said yes. So actually, even though a very low number said they had official sponsors, it turns out that a very high number actually do have sponsors in practice without naming it as such, which is great news, because that means that there are people within the firm being champions for women and making sure that they get the stretch assignment, a piece of the action, especially in tech, where, you know, when you're going to do something that involves coding, it's very natural for some people to look to their right and go, hey, Jimmy, you're my man. You've done this five times for me before. You're up. And overlook perhaps the potential Susie or Sally in the handing out of good assignments.
Right.
So it was actually quite reassuring to see that there is engagement and there is sponsorship going on for the women who answered the questions anyway.
Right. It was an interesting study, and 20 pages of it, and everybody that has access to that on your from your website, theglasshammer.com. You're going to be looking at this, I understand, in greater detail over the next few weeks. So what kind of issues will you be looking at during that time?
Yeah, we're really going to extrapolate the themes. As I say, sponsorship is going to be something that we're going to investigate a bit more deeply to really see, you know, how we can reconcile what's happening with how people, what people think is happening, really, because that's the discrepancy there. So that we're all speaking the same language, you know.
Right.
Do you have a sponsor? Yes, you do, but you're not saying you do. Why is that? So we're going to explore that a little bit. And really, the innovative piece is really, really huge in technology, because obviously if they think, the women think their leaders are innovative, but themselves, they don't. They actually thought they were the least innovative of all the traits when they ranked themselves. So that in itself is very interesting, because to be a technologist, you somewhat have to be an innovator.
Right.
So we might explore that also.
Okay, very good. Well, yep. One other, I just want to mention this before we let you go today, Nikki. There was another article on your website called Why Role Models Are Critical for Developing Women Leaders in Tech. And the interesting thing to me there was you wanted on this particular response to find out who respondents really looked up to in the industry and asked them to name one woman in technology they admire. And about a quarter left that question blank. And 9% said they couldn't think of anyone. So there's plenty of opportunity there by the sound of it.
Yes. And of course, this was in the survey, also in the study. The three top women who were identified were Sheryl Sandberg, Marissa Mayer from Yahoo, mm-hmm. and Padmas Ray Warrior, the CTO of Cisco, I believe they were top three, if I'm
right.
remembering correctly.
Right.
So it is quite interesting, because we did this survey around the time that there was huge media interest in Marissa Mayer. And I'm wondering if we asked right now, if now that things have calmed down a little bit, how that would sit. Because it is clear that women are lacking role models. But I also think you're going to name the person who you've seen on the television on the Today Show 5 minutes ago. And so I'm not sure how representative this is, really. And I think that would probably warrant further investigation on why
right.
these are the appointed role models.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And it would be interesting to see how Yahoo employees now respond to Marissa after she'd made a huge change in policy and stopped people working from home. And yet she had this crib built, this little nursery built in her office. And she kind of changed things around after the big outcry from employees there. Well, Nikki Gilmore, I want to thank you for being with us today. Listeners can find out more about Nikki and her work at theglasshammer.com, theglasshammer.com, and evolvedemployer.com. Nikki Gilmore, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Vicky. Enjoy your day. Thank you.
And please do stay with us. We'll be right back. We are talking in the next section with Dr. Wieland DeGenti. I'm probably butchering her name there, but we'll find out in just a moment. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. We'll be right back. I want to be sledgehammer.
Love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
Did you know that capsizing boats and people falling overboard account for over 70% of boating fatalities? 80% of those fatalities occur on boats under 26 feet and on boats with operators who've had no formal boating instruction. 50% of all boating accidents involve alcohol. Be smart this summer. Know who you're boating with. Wear a Coast Guard approved life jacket and don't drink and boat. This message is brought to you by supporters of Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair and the JMB Group, who wish you safe boating fun.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to NuPro Supplements, we cover the world of animals. This week, July 21st, it's a Kevin and Kim Sunday. Always entertaining, Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive will host the show. They'll talk with Bob Dawson from Macaw Rescue and Sanctuary Incarnation about the annual open house and fundraiser barbecue in August, plus open phone lines so Kim can read for you and your animal friends. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-7617. 4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Melanie Brocklehurst takes us from shark diving in Hawaii to Fright Night in Philly as she shares her hilarious ups and downs of internet dating in 50 dates in 50 states. And if the thought of spending summer vacation with the in-laws sends you running for the hills, don't miss Vicki's chat with in-law relationship expert Dr. Deanna Brand. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Guest details at conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, my next guest is Dr. Tracy Weilander-Genty. She's a recognized thought leader on careers. She's the author of 10 books, a regular media contributor, global speaker, and is the key advisor for recruiting and outplacement firms. Her most recent book is called Women Lead, Career Perspectives from Workplace Leaders. Dr. Weilander-Genty is a visiting scholar at Stanford University Media X program, and she researches the impact of technology on future careers. Dr. Weilander-Genty, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Vicki. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to call you Tracy, if that's okay.
That would be fine. Thank
it's
you.
A long name there.
Yeah.
So, Tracy, I want to just share a little of your background and how you became interested in research, in technology, in careers.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's an important point to share. I actually grew up on the East Coast, and I was had a very nice career in the fashion industry in sales, and then I moved to California for family reasons and found myself unemployed. I was unemployed because I wasn't educated nor technical, even though I had a Bachelor of Arts degree in liberal arts, which at that time was all you really needed. And so I hit a reality that I think a lot of people will be hitting now and in the future, that education and technology proficiency is going to hit all of our careers. And, you know, my solution was I had to go back to school and learn technology to get myself employed.
Right. And now you have this great career. So it's worked out, I would guess, in the long run for you.
Well, and that's the message there, that because I decided to fix those areas of skill deficiency and education deficiencies, I did pay for myself a new path and a lucrative path and a flexible path in my career that I think other people need to really face facts and think about before it's too late.
Right. And today, I mean, there's a vast array of subjects you could talk about. And the book that you wrote goes into intense detail on a lot of findings about women in the workplace. But today we're going to talk a lot about mobility and how that's displacing or could be displacing jobs. And I say mobility because you say that's the one of the primary technologies driving this change.
Well, technology, you know, there's been a flurry in the press about, is technology eliminating and destroying jobs? And, you know, the point that people should think about is, you know, technology creates efficiency and can increase productivity. And, in fact, there's much been written about how if I use technology and machines, I can actually become more productive and do more. At the same time, in certain areas, technology can and has been displacing certain jobs, and the ones that people often think about is how the manufacturing person is replaced by a robot, or even in the medical industry, how, you know, robotics are replacing certain pieces of surgery. So I think that people need to pay attention to what their industry is and what technologies are assisting them, but also at the same time eliminating some jobs.
Right, right. And, you know, some of the jobs that you talk about as being, they could be displaced by technology, I never even considered. I mean, the taxi driver, for one.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and this was a real story. I was coming home from giving a webinar on the future of work, and I took a taxi in San Francisco. The gentleman asked me what was my topic on. I said, the future of work. He said, I'm not going to have a job. And I said, now, why won't you have a job? Taxi drivers have jobs for life. He said, well, you know, Google has the autonomous car or the robotic car, which will be coming out in a year or two, and they have applied for taxi permits in San Francisco and Las Vegas. Their thinking is that, you know, think about the deaths that are caused by people using their cell phones and driving, human error, drinking on the road, and distractions, and that a robotic or autonomous car would be much safer. In addition, anyone who's handicapped would have the ability to be mobile in a car. And he said to me, I never thought about it, and it really never thought that the future could bring the elimination of the driver or me, the taxi driver. And he said, quite frankly, I'm not prepared.
Yeah. Well, I can see that happening a lot. I mean, I used to work in the financial services industry, and that's another one of the jobs you talk about as being displaced. And I remember years ago, it was before I moved to Washington, so what, 17 years ago, maybe 18 years. I remember a new CEO came in and he said, you know what, pretty soon we won't have to carry cash with us. We'll have these plastic cards that'll do it all for us. And we all thought he was crazy.
That's right. And now you have Bitcoin, right? The mobile digital currency. So it's even gone even further. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. I think people think it's in the future that they're not going to be participating in. And in reality, technology is accelerating that future faster than we had thought.
Yeah. Now, another one of the jobs you talked about was the surgeon and robotic technology. And I actually just did a voiceover for a company in L.A. who does robotic surgery. But isn't the surgeon still involved in that?
Yes. And so, you know, let me give you a point. I was actually at an augmented virtual reality conference a couple of months ago, and I met with a surgeon who had transferred his eye surgery from manual surgery to augmented virtual reality and with some robotics involved. And I said to him, you know, what does this mean? He said, well, when you're a physician or a surgeon, there's, you know, the difference between being precise and exact. And what technology can help us do is to be more precise. So you still have to have the subject matter expertise. But you also have to understand that how the technology overlay, right? How are you going to combine those two so that either you could be more efficient, productive, or in his case, more precise?
Right. A couple of the others that I hadn't really thought about: library assistants, waiters. How are they going to be? How are they going to be possibly displaced by technology?
Absolutely. I just met with key executives of some of the food services who have already integrated in, of course, iPads and iPhones or kiosks into ordering food, but they're going to take that to the next level and automate actually the serving part of the food as well. They're finding that people really just want to make their choices, are comfortable with technology, and don't really need to have, in a lot of cases, that extra personal touch that a server provides, but rather getting to their food faster. Now, there's differences in all kinds of food industries. You might go into a restaurant just to be cared for, but you may go into a fast food facility because you want your food fast. And so we're seeing that in some of those cases, you could see the waiters and waitresses disappearing. On the library side, I mean, everyone remembers the research library would sit at her desk or his desk waiting for you to bring your research requests. But today, you really don't see those people anymore, and many of them turn into roving librarians who not only help you with research, but for the most part, how to use the technology. And that's just simple stuff like Google and many of the search engines have really fine-tuned and customized enough that I, as an academic, can go and find quality periodicals and academic journals without the assistance of a librarian. And to really augment that is you have sites like Amazon and Barnes & Noble and many of the journals that have just gone electric, so electronic, so you can actually access those.
Yeah. I noticed last time I asked a librarian, which was quite a while ago now, but I asked them for assistance at the research desk. They were quite excited.
Yes. 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 But, as you know, I think the point there is that many librarians are reinventing themselves.
Yeah.
You know, there are some who are not, but that you can reinvent yourself to be more at a higher skill level and more value add. And that's what I think the important point is.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating stuff. I mean, you give a whole list of other jobs, too. I mean, you know, we already know the retail cashier and, you know, I go through the drive through at Starbucks every day. Everybody just holds up their iPhone and it's swiped, you know, for their coffee and stuff. But let's go back to the taxi driver we were just talking about. And he said, you know, he'd never thought about it. He didn't realize it was going to happen so soon and he's not prepared. How do we become prepared?
Yeah, you know, and I call it the prescription for continued employability, you know. So if you are, you know, and it's, you have to really be practical and pragmatic about your own career because, let's face it, you're living longer and you're going to have technology and industry stops and starts. So one is keep on top of the industry trends that you're in. Read, join associations, subscribe to their periodicals, and understand what technology might be in my industry that would be worth knowing about. And then two is learn it. You know, if you're in manufacturing, additive manufacturing, 3D printing are key technologies that are displacing people. So go and see if you can learn about it and get comfortable with it. Many firms offer on-the-job training. A lot of people don't ask what's there, but that was part of my foundation, as I did ask my companies, Apple and Cisco and HP, what technology firm classes do they offer for free that I could take so I could get technical. I encourage people to make lateral moves. A lot of people think if you stay in one job forever, you know, that's it, and you'll move up. And in the reality today is very job experiences in your own firm will increase your skill set, increase visibility and networking.
Yeah.
And then there's things, you know, just like meetups and public seminars where you can join other people in a special interest area and learn what, you know, what do you need to know and how can you learn it fast?
Right. I love you said in your book, you have to think of your career not as a career ladder anymore, but as a career labyrinth.
Yes. And that was the quote of many women who said that they have a lot of experience in the labyrinth just because of their lives. They've gotten married, had jobs, had kids, elder care. So they really understand. And many women felt that they were more prepared for the future than some of their male colleagues because they actually understand how to continue through the web of life or the labyrinth.
Right. Well, you know, we talked with my previous guest. One of the findings she found was that in her survey was that a quarter of, well, actually 75% of people, let's put it this way, it's easier this way, 75% of her respondents said that their companies did not walk the talk. They did not walk the talk as far as career advancement for women. What advice do you give women on that? And is that what you're seeing too?
So here's my advice, right? It's your life. It's your career. Take control of it. If you're sitting around waiting for a company to cater to you, it may or may not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice is to take control of your career, make a plan, plan it out by your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, and you make the moves. I think a lot of people are nervous about leaving a firm. Today's environment can be stressful. But every job lateral move I've made has, and upward move I've made has proved to be a benefit and an opportunity. It's risk-taking, which has come up in my research over and over again, that people and women are risk-averse and need to start thinking about how to take some calculated risks. And
okay.
I think you need to get started with your career and your job moves.
Excellent advice to finish today's show on. Dr. Tracy Weiland-Argenti, I want to thank you for being with us. I want to let listeners know they can find out more about you at TracyWeiland.com. Is that the best website, TracyWeiland.com?
Yes, and my Twitter feed is at Tracy Weiland, TracyWiland. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Dr. Weiland-Argenti has written extensively on this topic. Her book is called Women Lead, Career Perspectives from Workplace Leaders. And she's written extensively on jobs that could be displaced by technology. Just go to her website, TracyWeiland.com, and you'll find more information there. And I want to thank you, as always, for being with us today. If you have feedback or questions or missed any of the information on today's show, you can reach me at info@conversationslive.net. You can also reach me at the 800 number, 495-7617, 800-495-7617. And you can find us on Facebook at Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and tweet us at Vicky St. Clair. And we will be back next week. The podcast should be up live by tomorrow at the very latest. So you know where to find us, conversationslive.net. Please join us next week. Live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.